The following shiur is being recorded for TorahDownloads.com, a project of the Yehuda Mann Foundation, Le'ilui Nishmas Yehuda Aryeh ben Yoshua Yakir.
We were speaking last time about Torah Shebal Peh, and we explained the concept of Bezna Gadol, the way it's written in the Chumash, and so on. There is a question asked is, can the Bezna Gadol make a mistake? So the answer to that is twofold. First of all, technically, legally, they cannot make a mistake. The Chinuch says it best in Ayin Ches, in Mitzvah Ayin Ches. He says it in the Mitzvah Achiram Lahatos, that even if the Bezna Gadol makes a mistake, since we're doing what we ought to be doing, Daveri says is on their heads, not in our heads. In other words, and he says this is evidenced by Par Helm Dova, that it's their karm, not our karm. So on the technical level, if a person did what the Bezna Gadol told him to do, even if Bezna Gadol feels that it was wrong, the person did not commit an aver. He did what was right. And Bezdin and Bezdin had their own parsha. So the Chinuch seems to be saying the following. A, Bezdin can make an error, and that's why there is a parsha of Helam Dover when they realize they were in error. It is not a halachic error, because if we do as the way they've told us to do, then we are doing right, and that is our that's our obligation. There's another place where either Ramban or the Chinuch, I don't remember offhand now, he says this, and both Ramban and the Chinuch constantly speak about the chshivas of this mitzvah, because without this mitzvah, Torah would become shambles. Every single person would decide whatever he wants to decide, and you would end up with 1,000 Torahs. So this is the most vital part of preservation of Torah. They also say that there is a haftacha, there is an understanding that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's a Siyata Dishmaya, and Elokim Nitzav Adas Keil, and that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will not let them err. But it's very important to separate the two issues. One is, in a dry halachic sense, it's not the Ruach HaKodesh and anything like that. On a deeper sense, we have a trust and a faith that since a Kadosh Baruch Hu put the navigation of Klal Yisrael's Torah in their hands, it will be okay. Yes.
Just for clarification, Rebbe said this is the most important mitzvah. Rebbe is referring to,
in terms of preservation of Torah, this is crucial. The mitzvah of listening to the Bezna Gadol, no matter what.
Okay.
The evidence of the chesivus of such a mitzvah is in the famous Mishnah of Rebbe Yeshua and Gamliel, where he told him to come on Yom Kippur, on the day that he thought was in Kippur. He should come to Makta with Tarmilo. He did it, and he told him that you're my Talmud in terms of accepting, but you're my Rebbe in terms of teach me what's right. In other words, the chshivas of accepting the Das HaRov and the Rabbim is an extraordinarily chashiva mitzvah in terms of keeping the Torah, and that's why the halach is so chomer about somebody, if somebody rules not like that, Zotin Mamre, etc. Fine, so that is Bezna Gadol and Torah Shebal Peh. There's a big problem at this junction. The picture's good. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Sinai. He brought a Torah Shebaksav with a Torah Shebal Peh explaining halachas and a system for deciding the laws. There was a Bezna Gadol. Bezna Gadol would sit and deliberate and decide, and they would remember all that was forgotten and would use all sorts of drushes to learn new halachas and would make takanas and gzeres, and this is fine and good. That ended somewhere in the towards the end of Bayis Sheni, some at some point before Churban Bayis Sheni. It said they stopped passing 40 years before. Whatever it is, it ended before that time. What we have today that we call and refer to as Torah Shebal Peh is the Mishnah, and most important, the Gemara. The Bavli, Talmud Bavli is for us, when we talk about Torah Shabbat Peh, we're using a synonym for Talmud Bavli. Talmud Bavli was made quite a while after there ever was a Bez Nagadol in Klal Yisrael. Where's that coming from? Why is Talmud Bavli binding? Why is it that we have to keep the mitzvahs in Talmud Bavli, which for us, anybody who's Kovan Talmud Bavli is Kovan Torah Shabbat Peh. This is Torah Shabbat Peh for us. And where is that coming from? We also would like to explore at some point, what could the Tanaim HaRoim do? All those drushes in Chazal, could they actually sit in dash and drushes? Were those drushes just restricted to Bez Nagadol? That's really the most crucial piece of the Hashkafa or Emunah in Torah, because for us it's the same thing. Take the Gemara away, we'd all be very happy listening to Bez Nagadol, because Bez Nagadol hasn't existed in 2,000 years, and we'd be very fine with that. So we're going to try to work out an understanding of why it is binding on us. A word of caution before we discuss it. There is an almost vicious cycle in it, because Lamashal, let's say the Gemara is going to tell us that the Gemara is binding. So some will come along and say, well, that's begging the question. The Gemara is telling us that the Gemara is binding, but who says the Gemara is binding? We'll learn Pshatim, Rishonim, Achronim, and we can always play the devil's advocate and say, well, but who says that that's binding? Bez Nagadol is pretty much anchored in the Torah. And we've seen that, it's in Forsha Parsha, and it's not something that is easy to, an honest, open look at it, it anchors it very firmly. But here, we're stuck. Here we have a whole crucial and critical chelik of the puzzle that really is going to have to prove itself from within, which is a very, very difficult task. So, there is obviously, let's start with the bottom. There is no way I could draw the line automatically from before to here. There's nothing I could say, I don't have a pasuk in the Torah. I don't have any rulings of the Bez Nagadol extant today that would tell me Bez Nagadol said, okay, from now on it's going to be Bavli or Shalmi. None of that exists. But the flip side is, we're starting with the point that we are Yidden Shemot Torah Mitzvahs. What we're trying to do is get a sense of what is it that we believe in. And there might be many ways of putting it together, but there has to be an honest way to put all the pieces in. Somebody finds a gemara here, a snippet there, a tshuva the other place. That's not, it's a sugya. It's a sugya gedoyla v'chamura ad moed. And if a person put together the pieces, so it's a credible stance. But if a person just says, well, who says the chum, would say this, says that, and the other one, the person says, no, I don't hold like that. So that's not a serious debate, it's not a serious issue. Also, and I guess in a very, very big picture, if we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to keep the Torah because that's very important, and those are the highest moral obligations on a person, to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the system of us having a firm idea what that Torah is, it's basically like destroying the Torah. In other words, if a person has a conviction that there is a God and there is a moral will in the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants things to be and so on, then we are going to have to say that there does exist a Mahalach. That even today, 2,000 years after Bez Nagadol, we have a firm idea what those mitzvahs are. If we were to wipe away all of those millennium after the Bez Nagadol, so basically we're for no Torah. For practical purposes, it's Isha Yashu Bein Yaseh, and nothing is binding. I'd say Lo Signo means only from poor people. Lo Sitzach only means people that I like. Old people that are annoying and babies that are deformed. There's no end to interpretation. So if we really want to feel that there's a body of halacha that's binding, in a concrete way where I have things that I can't move, those things, we're going to have to lay those things in place. And for us, since Talmud Bavli is the only really firm anchor, it's going to have to be in Talmud Bavli. Okay, so first of all, who discusses these things? Where can you find some of those points? And remember, once again, this is a sugya that's been dealt with peripherally, and therefore putting it together is difficult. But my makomas are as follows. The Rambam in his Akdamah to Mishnah Torah, which we're going to see, is a firm anchor. There's a Gemara about Metzia Peivav that has a line or two that's important. The Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs, the first mitzvah is, the first Shoresh, where he discusses which mitzvahs he does include, which he doesn't explain, he doesn't include Rabbanans. There is much talk in the Nosa Kelim, in the Ramban, and in the Marganisa Tavla especially, that deal with that, with those issues about which halakim of Rabbanans stay and so on. It deals, there are pieces there in those Rishonim that are important. There is also Rebbe Chanan has called a Kunchus Divrei Sofrim, where he talks about Dinei Rabbanan in general. It's in Chelek Beis of Kovet Shurim, and he has a perek there that deals with this issue. Chazanish, in quite a few places in his letters, does deal with it. This is the type of thing. The Chazanish's writings, especially in his letters, are remarkable. They're very difficult because many of the times he does not bother to write the Shaka Bataria. In other words, what other people think, where he's differing, why it's different, how it's different. He writes it in a very, very sweeping way in his beautiful prose, and you really have to sit in each piece and say, hey, take a look what he's saying. Where's it coming from? He argues on a point of Rebbe Chanan explains. He's not arguing. Those are the people that we have. Those are pretty much the young we have. There's a case of Mishnah someplace and so on. But there's one more piece besides the Gemara. The concept of a place having an authority, that a Rav in a town, a Rebbe of a person, the fact that it's binding, that Psak is binding on the person, is something that is going to be very important to understand when, if, and how. And obviously this is going to come from the Gemara. So, but understanding what's the framework of the Asra, of Rabbi Yossi, they did this, and Basra Rabbi Lazar did this, that whole concept of a Mokom and a Rav and so on will fall into that category as Bizman Hazeh. So we're missing two very big pieces to make it relevant to us. First of all, that whole sense of the Talmud and the Gemara, where did that come in? How do we understand it to be binding Mikoach what? Secondly, from the end of Gemara till today, can we freely argue on anybody we want? Can everybody do the way? Can everybody take out a Gemara and pass what he wants to or not? Those are things that we need to get some sense of direction. Let's start with the Rambam. Well, first let's maybe read the one line in Gemara Bar Metzia. We get Bar Metzia here. It's a short line. And get safe, I'm out of the Rambam. Sorry, I had the wrong feeling. Yeah, what?